Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to the City Confessions. I am so excited for today's episode. I know that I have the same introduction every single time, but what can I say? I love the people that I have on. Today, I want to welcome Zoe Daphne Gagne. Oh, such a beautiful name. She is a classical and electric cellist based in New York City, which is amazing because I don't know anybody who plays the cello. So hi, Zoe Daphne, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We actually kind of connected through Clubhouse, which is really interesting. And I spoke about Clubhouse in my last episode with Hannah. But basically, for those who don't know, it's a audio-based social app where you can enter these chat rooms, listen to amazing people talk. You can also host rooms, and the beauty of it is that there is a room for everybody. So yes, that's how Zoe and I connected. I saw that she was based in New York City, and I'm all about scouting new guests. Why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to the listeners, Zoe Daphne. I love saying your name, by the way.
Thank you. I love my name. It has a hyphen in the middle, so I always have to remind people that it is both. But yes, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm a classical and electric cellist, like you said. I study at the Manhattan School of Music, and in my free time, I love to combine classical music with modern music. It's a passion of mine because I'm a visual listener. So when I hear music, I see things. And recently I've been exploring adding film to that. So I've been doing music videos and stuff. But yeah, I love being inspired by all kinds of art. And that's what makes me the artist I am.
I love hearing that. So you were born and raised in New York?
I actually just moved for school. I moved during the pandemic. Yeah, I've only been living here a couple of months, but I am just in love with the city. I used to visit often when I was younger. When I was 12, I got to play at Carnegie Hall, and that was when I just fell in love with New York City.
You played at Carnegie Hall at 12?
I did, yes. I actually got to go twice. Once, I forget the ages, but yeah, around 12 years old, I got to go perform twice because I won a competition, and it was the most amazing experience.
Okay, first of all, that is so impressive for people who aren't from New York. Like, Carnegie Hall is like a huge deal. So for you to have had that experience at such a young age is like wild and like fascinating to me. So I really want to dive into that. What was the moment when you knew that like music was your passion? Like, were you playing music all along as a child? Walk me through the journey of discovering this passion.
Yeah, so the first time I heard a cello live, of course I'd heard recordings when I was little, but in preschool, I had my first cello lesson, and according to my mom, the story goes that the teacher helped me draw the bow across the string. And from that moment, my eyes just got so wide and my jaw dropped and I was amazed by the sound. And I think ever since then, I've just been in love with music. I've grown up with it all throughout, you know, elementary school to middle school to high school. I've gotten to tour around Europe and play in all of these like culturally rich places for classical music. And I guess there are a few defining moments for musicians. Of course, the first being when you play your instrument for the first time. But the other defining moment is when you decide this is what you want to do with your life. And for me, that was last year when I was applying for conservatory. I kind of had to decide, okay, like, am I going to be committed to this? Is this what I want in my life? And for me, the answer was easy because I just can't imagine myself doing anything else. It really is my passion. So it's been a lifelong love for me.
It makes me so happy to hear that because I just really love when people are living their dream lives. And I feel like that's exactly what you're doing. So does music run in your family at all?
Actually, it kind of doesn't. My mom is an actress and my dad is an engineer. My older sister is a doctor. And I'm the second of four. So I am the only musician of the family. However, my parents love music, and I always grew up with music playing around the house, and my sisters and my brother play piano. So we all have some musical influence, but our parents are not musicians at all.
That's so interesting. It also makes me think about just like the concept of talents and skills. So,
Yes.
do you think some people are just like born with talent? Like, you were made to be a cellist?
Talent and skill is something that I really had to struggle with because I did get to rely on my talent for a little bit, but I remember my dad always told me, talent only gets you so far. You can't live your dream only on talent. You have to put in the skill. And I think where a lot of people not fall short, but veer paths, I'll say, is when they solely rely on their talent, and then when it starts to get hard, they can't put in the skill. So I wouldn't say I'm a natural at what I do. I've had to work really hard to get where I am and, all the amazing things I've done. So talent can give you that initial passion, but skill is what's going to make you succeed.
That's so insightful because I feel like sometimes people think if you just have that talent, that's all you really need. But 100% you would need to, fine-tune those skills. And as a musician, what is your morning routine? Like, how many hours are dedicated to practicing slash playing? Like, I'm obviously not a musician, so I'm just so curious, how does your schedule looks like?
I mean, it's obviously different now that I'm dedicating my life to studying music. I'd say back in middle and high school, I practiced like 3 hours a day when I had, normal school. My junior and senior year of high school, when I was preparing for auditions, I practiced 5 hours a day to 7 hours a day, because I really wanted to get into a great school. Nowadays, it's hard to measure because really my entire day is not only practicing, but rehearsals and orchestra and music classes. But I think typically the hours that I sit down and really practice on my own varies between 3 to 5 hours a day. The days with less one-on-one practice with myself, are the days where I have more rehearsals and things. But yeah, probably more, but it's hard to say nowadays because it's what I do all day.
Yes, totally. Do you believe music is like, I don't want to say takes over your life, but as a musician, do you find that even on your spare time, everything is like music related?
Yes, absolutely. I love to see my art in everything that I do, and I think that's something that's common among all sorts of artists. Like you'll see something and it'll remind you of what you do. And for me, I really think that life fuels art. So, something I like to do for fun on my Instagram is I'll go around New York City and I'll see things and it'll inspire me to play music. So over Christmas time, I'm sure you've seen the Avenue of the Americas all decked out with candy canes and all different sorts of things. So I played music from the Nutcracker there. I think everything I see, I relate it back to music. When I watch a show, the first thing I think is, oh, I want to play this music. So yeah, I'd say it does in a good way, though. It's helping me live a better life by seeing more beauty in the everyday because I'm always looking for that art in my day.
Yeah. And in the beginning, when I was introducing you, I, made a comment about like, I don't know any cellists. And I'm wondering, as a cellist, do you know others? And is it competitive?
I do know other cellists. Yeah, I have to say, with COVID, it's been really difficult to connect with other people at my school just because we're all on online classes. But I do know other cellists. Conservatory environment can definitely be competitive. There are those people that will look down on you or judge what you do. And especially, there is a sort of prejudice in the classical music world. Like, if you play other genres than classical music, it's sort of seen as like not pure. I think less so now that we've had pioneers, you know, do it in the past. But still, I do feel a little bit of this. There's both sides of the coin. There's the people who think it's so cool and they think it's amazing that I try to bring classical music to all genres of music, and other people that think to be a pure classical musician, you have to stay within classical. Obviously, I'm not a believer in that. But yeah, I think there's competition, but there's also a lot of amazing people. I love collaborating with other musicians and not just cellists.
Yeah. And I know that you say, you know, like in the industry, I guess, like playing classical music is more traditional. Mm-hmm. But with social media now, I know that you have also tapped into a more creative route in mm-hmm. showcasing your talents. So why don't you tell us about your route into tapping into TikTok and Instagram and making, I don't want to say fun, but like bringing humor and fun to what you do.
Yes. Okay. So disclaimer, I definitely did not invent this. There's been lots of amazing people before me. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, Tina Guo, there's that cello guy, you know, all these different people that sort of paved the way for it. But my Instagram started out just because I had an audience for my classical music in the sense that I go to school for it. But for my electric cello, especially during the pandemic, it's not like I can go out and play a gig. So for me, it's my way of performing my passions. Like after a long day of practicing classical music, I just immediately go to the electric cello and try to create fun with that. So that's where it really started. And now it's transformed into something bigger that I just really want to bring people joy in the best way they can. And like music, not just classical music, but all kinds of music is what brings me joy. And it's gotten me through a lot of hard times. So my goal is to bring people to that every day on social media.
I love hearing that. I feel like music, food, travel, mm-hmm. pretty much those three, at least for me personally, are what unites us all, because you don't necessarily need to, you know how to play a certain instrument. You don't necessarily need to know how to speak a certain language. But when you hear music and when you eat or when you travel, those things give us like a moment of like, wow, we're so different, but yet we can still understand each other.
Yes.
So yeah. When you look at your journey, I know it's still happening. You're still on your journey, but what are the highlights? And then when have you felt the most challenge?
I would say I'll start with highlights. I think definitely getting to travel. I miss traveling with the pandemic. I can't believe it's been a year already. But speaking about music being a universal language, I've gotten to meet so many amazing musicians all over the world, Korea, Spain, France, New York, when I didn't live here. And I think it's amazing to see that commonality that all musicians, what they really want to do is tell a story and reach people. And that's been so inspiring for me, because even if you don't speak that person's language, you can still communicate emotion. So a highlight for me has always been, you know, traveling and getting to meet other musicians. And of course, getting to study music full time. It's such a privilege. I'm so happy that I chose to go to a conservatory environment rather than a university. I'm just completely immersed in music all the time. As for challenges, I would have to say, for me, the challenges come, I guess, in the everyday, because I think as an artist, you spend a lot of time thinking about, am I improving enough? Am I perfect enough? Is this good enough? Should I post this? Why don't people like this? And the way I get through that is every day I just try to accomplish one thing. I try to get through things one at a time. And especially in music, when you're studying like I am, you never get instant gratification. And most things in life are never instant gratification. So I just try to do one step every day to get me closer to my goal. And that kind of lets me be kinder to myself because I'm not complaining that I'm not doing anything. Like I am doing something, just one small thing every day. So, yeah.
That is such a good point, and I think that's also why I wanted to start this podcast, because I felt like a lot of us, we are way too hard on ourselves and we don't take time to celebrate these small wins.
Exactly.
And I've been, prioritizing that even in my own life and encouraging others to do that, because essentially we are training our brains to create these healthy habits to feed in and say, yes, we are setting the tone, right, of this journey and this whatever journey that may be, instead of saying, I know it sounds so cheesy, like that quote about like focusing on the destination. Like, yes, of course, have an end goal, but all these little steps along the way are so critical, because it's like when I asked you, what are your proudest moments, you can look back and it wasn't like you went from A to B in a heartbeat, right? Like there was definitely challenges along the way. So I love that you mentioned that it's so important to take it day by day. And if anything, that's what this pandemic has shown us, because you honestly can't even predict what's going to happen in a week, in a month, let alone a year. So I just really love that you said that. I want to shift gears a little bit, and it's kind of similar to asking you about your challenges, but in this current moment, what is keeping you up at night? And yes, it sounds like such a simple question, but I think, again, it's really important as human beings and New Yorkers, you're living in New York right now, to just turn inwards and acknowledge how we're feeling. And I want to preface this by saying that if you are living your best life right now and you have no stress, that is okay as well. But right now, like in this current moment on this Tuesday afternoon, what is stressing you out?
First of all, I love that question. I wish people asked each other that
Same.
more. That's what I love about this podcast. I would have to say it's a combination of excitement and fear. I think both of those things go hand in hand. I always am kept up at night by ideas of things I could do. Oh, like I want to cover this show. I want to cover this song. Oh, I have an idea for a photo. Like these things are constantly milling around in my head, so much so that I have a journal right next to my nightstand so I can write down all my midnight ideas. But I think the fear comes in where you don't know if you can succeed. And I actually think that fear is a good thing because fear is just an emotion. You can just let it happen, but it doesn't have to impact you in any way. Sometimes when I take on a big project, I do get fearful that it won't work out. But I also like to remember that fear is just an emotion like everything else, and it can't impede you from succeeding your goals. So it's always excitement and fear for me, but I think I've gotten pretty good at just letting the fear wash over like a wave.
That was so great, because I have also adopted that mindset that emotions and feelings are exactly what they stand for, right? Like, we are not our emotions. We are not how we feel. And sometimes I have changed the way I communicate how I'm feeling with basically using that word feeling. So it can say, I can say something along the lines of, I am feeling happy today, or I am experiencing anxiety, but like we are not that emotion. And I think it's so interesting that you mentioned how fear coincides with excitement, because it is contradicting in a way, but I feel like that's what most journeys and projects have in common. Like, there's definitely an excitement factor, because why would you not be excited to do something? But then we always have fears and like limiting beliefs. So I just love that you brought those two contrasting concepts. And speaking of emotions, right? You mentioned fear. I would love to talk about happiness, right? What is happiness to you? What does it look like? And then as a follow-up question, how do you define success?
Those are great questions. And honestly, I'm still figuring out myself, what is happiness? What is success? I think at the very base of it, you hear everyone say, just do what makes you happy, like do whatever makes you happy. But sometimes you really have to sit down and like really, really think about that. For me, happiness is continuing to see the world the way I do. I just always strive to see the beauty in everything, the magic in everything. And you know, it's not to say that I don't have my hard moments where things get clouded and everything just doesn't seem as beautiful anymore. But for me, happiness is always returning back to seeing that beauty and that magic. And something that's really helped me do that is social media, because it's given me a reason to go out into the city and find beautiful places, Central Park, you know, all the touristy places that you go, but really looking at them and trying to find those little pockets of beauty where people aren't gathering around trying to take pictures somewhere, you know. So that's kind of just a metaphor for my life, really. It's just trying to find all that magic in the everyday. I'm so sorry, I forgot your follow-up question.
Oh, no, it's totally fine. I know I asked both of them at once. I was saying, how do you define success?
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay, success. I would say it ties into that because, you know, for me, success as a musician is staying inspired and just keep creating. And I know a lot of times musicians put this pressure on themselves to be perfect. But I think as long as you keep creating, that's success. And it ties into happiness too, because when I'm happy, I'm finding magic in the everyday. And when I'm doing that, I'm feeling inspired and creating. So both things go hand in hand. I'm sure my answer will be different in 10 years or 20 years, but for now, that's what it is.
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, wanting to always feel inspired. I think we all do, because inspiration is not permanent, right? Like there are moments when we feel inspired and that's when we have to kind of act upon it. So as a musician, I'm sure there are times when you're not inspired. Like, do you ever experience that creative rut or just feeling maybe, I don't want to say not passionate about it, but like, are you honestly waking up every single day feeling like, yes, I'm going to, you know, play my cello? Or what do you do on those days where you're not inspired?
That's a great question. Honestly, I would have to say it's a lifestyle. You know, you wake up every day and you have things that you need to do. Your scales, your etudes, your technical studies, like those are things you need to do. They're not particularly inspiring. You need to learn certain pieces, you need to do vocal exercises. You know, there's all of these, I guess, mundane things that you have to do. And I'm sure a lot of people relate to this. You know, you have to go to work, you have to exercise, you know, you have to cook if you don't enjoy that. But for me, I'm always looking forward to the next thing. So if I'm doing something that day I don't particularly feel like doing, because I have those small steps every day set for myself, those little goals that get me to my big end goal, I know what I have to do, so I do it. And when it comes to coming up with ideas for my passion projects, or, you know, putting a story into one of my classical pieces, how to convey that emotion, I honestly just, inspiration is a lifestyle. It's the way you look at the world. A true artist looks at the world and sees their art everywhere. Yes, there are days when you're cranky and everything seems kind of muddy and gross, you know, but those days don't often last long. And I actually I'm a big journaler, so I have that notebook by my bedside, either with project ideas, photo ideas, or sometimes even just things I've noticed throughout the day that I want to remember for later when I'm not feeling inspired. So, oh, I'm playing this Bach suite. Oh, I saw this, laughing kids at the park. I'll write that down in my journal, and when I'm feeling uninspired, I'll look through and I'll be like, oh, that's right, those kids laughing at the park. They remind me of this passage, or they remind me of this piece, and then I'll sit down and try to convey that through the music. So it's an act of self-care in the moment to journal the things you see around you, but also for the future. So when you look back, you can see that this dark cloud will pass and you are capable of being happy, and looking at those happy moments makes you joyful again.
I feel like I can honestly just listen to you speak because you are definitely inspiring to me. I think we share a similar mindset. I'm a huge journaler. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm huge on journaling as well. And I start my morning every single day journaling and meditating. And actually, it's so funny you mentioned that because one thing I wrote recently, I think it was like yesterday morning, I journaled. And so what I normally do is I also read what I wrote the day before. And I wrote the, yeah, like 2 days ago about saying it's so interesting that when you're writing, it's whatever you're feeling at that moment, right? And after I write, I kind of just, start my morning routine. But the next day when I read, it brings me back to exactly how I was the day before.
Yes.
And more often than not, I don't feel that same way. I mean, unless, obviously you're going through something, but my headspace is like somewhere else. And I love being able to look back and say, like, wow, that was, what I felt like. And I really turned into journaling when the pandemic happened last year. And I remember reading some of my passages in March that I wrote in March, actually, maybe like later on, like, towards the end of the year. And I was like, oh my God. I was experiencing so much anxiety, and as I'm sure most of us have. And it's like a diary, and I think it's really important. And I would love to, pass that along to, like, who, I don't know, my children or something, because how interesting is it to read back and say, like, oh my God, my mom felt like this when this happened in the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just encourage people to journal because it's such a good way to tap into your awareness. And I think self-awareness is underrated for
That's
sure.
amazing. And honestly, I would love to see more of that on your social media. It's a great skill to teach people how to do. I know recently I've been trying to talk more about my journaling on my social media, and I guess for me, it's a coping mechanism because I'm such a busy person. I'm working pretty much every hour of the day. And so to just be able to dump all my thoughts in there, dump my schedule in there, then I feel like my mind is free and ready to be inspired.
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. I also wanted to just tap more into creating, I don't know if it's like IGTVs or just other features to talk about these topics, because I do think, as many of us, we have so many layers, right? I feel like I personally am focusing like travel lifestyle, but there are so many other things that I want to talk about. So thank you for giving me the encouragement. I think I would tap into, like, I just wrote down on my notepad, like,
Yes.
the power of journaling.
I love that.
So I want to bring it back to you. And this podcast is called The City Confessions. And the reason why is because I love being able to create this platform to allow amazing people share their stories. And then at the end, I like to dig a little deeper and then ask them if they can share a confession. And a quick disclaimer, there is no right or wrong confession, and it can be however you receive this question. If you would like to open up about something deeper, feel free. This is a safe space. But if you would like to just review something that's, more silly and lighthearted, that is fine as well. So, Zoe Daphne, if you were to share a city confession, what would that be?
All right. I think my city confession would actually have to do with New York City. I mentioned earlier how I came here when I was about 12 for Carnegie Hall, and I remember coming here and hating New York City. I hated it. I remember going to Times Square and just being overwhelmed with the amount of people, and I guess I didn't hate it, but I definitely was like, this was fun. I don't want to live here ever. But I think now that I'm older, I guess, obviously I'm not afraid of crowds anymore like I was when I was little, but I think that I hate it mentality sort of came also because I never imagined myself living here. But now that I'm here, I finally understand why people are New Yorkers for life. There's so much life in this city everywhere you turn. And yes, sometimes it does smell like garbage, but you can find inspiration even in the garbage. So that's my city confession.
Listen, you are not the first person to say that. Like, I have so much love and pride for being a New Yorker, but trust me, there are times when I am definitely overwhelmed. And I think that's why I personally am so drawn to escapes and travel. And I found my passion for traveling because when the city got too overwhelming for me, I was like, I need to tap out, right? Like, I need to go somewhere else and explore someplace else. But I will say it's very refreshing to be able to call New York City home, like leaving a vacation or whatever the case is. I'm never bummed or dreading to go home. It's like I fall in love with the city every single time, even if, even if I'm going away for a weekend, I'm like, wow, I actually do miss New York. So it's totally fine. I get that. People say that all the time. People don't understand how I'm living in this city because of what you said of like the overwhelming crowds and energy. But I guess for you, it's a very unique experience to see what the city has to offer for you at this time, because we are still in a pandemic and because the crowds are not really here. So how are you experiencing New York City right now? Like, is it still, do you find that it's a little overwhelming still, or is it pretty, like I said before, refreshing to have less people around?
I wouldn't say the crowds are completely gone because Rockefeller
Right,
Center
of
around
course,
Christmas time
yeah.
was crazy. But I think rather than it being overwhelming, it's inspiring because you just are constantly surrounded by so many people, and I'm a believer that people sort of feed off each other's energy. So you're in the city and you see people walking to work every day, people from all, different areas, different lifestyles, and especially being on the subway for me is it's an experience because I never really took public transportation before I moved here. And it's just everyone's on their way somewhere doing something great or just living their lives, and it's motivating because you see you're not the only person in this world. And I think a lot of us felt like that during the pandemic, like completely alone. But being in the city, you're kind of reminded you're not all by yourself and there are people around you. Good people, bad people, all kinds of
Yeah.
people.
No, totally. I think that's such a good point because even in a city like New York, there is tons of people, and there are times when I'm lonely, you know? Like there are times when I'm in a room and physically, I'm around people, but like emotionally and like mentally, I'm like feeling so alone. And I think that's like a misconception people have of New York, and they think everybody, you know, has friends and networking and all of that. But that's why I wanted to create this podcast as well, like just to share stories and to show that we have a lot of commonalities. Because you and I have totally different backgrounds. But we are, you know, connecting in our mindset and values, and that's why I love doing this. Right now, I would love to tease the listeners about your amazing skills. So this is a little snippet of Zoe Daphne playing the Queen's Gambit. I just want you guys to listen It's about 30 seconds. So here it goes. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. What was your inspiration behind that? I mean, I guess it was just the show itself, right? I mean, I definitely watched it. Everybody was glued to this series.
Yes. I have to admit, I can't take the entire credit for myself because I did have the help of my boyfriend, Andy. He actually listened to the soundtrack by ear and then wrote the whole transcription down and we recorded it together. The inspiration is simply just, I love movies, I love film, I loved the show, and I also have always wanted to play for these kinds of soundtracks. So we sort of recreated a little home studio. We spent 16 hours recording all the layers for this 2-minute song. That was only the recording part, so I'm sure everything else took a while.
That is crazy. I feel that gives so much, again, like insight to how much work goes behind just like a 2-minute clip. Like sometimes we listen to things and we don't appreciate like what, you know, went in behind getting that final product. I also am actually curious, this is like really random, but have you watched Game of Thrones?
I have not, but I've heard it is an amazing show.
It is, but I feel like you should do your own take of the theme song. Like, yes. It is. Have you heard of it before?
Though, I have, right? Yes. I've just started dabbling in film, and I really want to cover a lot more songs from soundtracks because they're like epic. They're amazing.
Yes, there is. And there's so much like iconic ones, like even like the Harry Potter or like Titanic or like, yeah, that's so interesting. But speaking of, you know, you wanting to cover soundtracks, right now I want to give you the space to plug away. So what are you up to? What can the listeners and the world be on the lookout from you in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, basically in 2021? What can you share?
Yes, so I just released the Queen's Gambit music video, which was my first like full production music video on my YouTube channel. I also have other performances from musicals and whatnot. So that's my YouTube. I'm really looking forward to covering more popular songs. I did Driver's License recently, a cello orchestra version. Full-length songs on my YouTube channel. And on my Instagram, I show up daily with music, beauty I see in the city, and that kind of thing. And my TikTok is music memes and just funny things, I guess, jokes. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm up to.
Yeah, I will leave all of your information in the show notes. So everybody who's listening, be sure to check that out. I also want to take a moment right now to send you gratitude for showing up and for saying yes to being such an amazing guest on my podcast. People don't know this, but there was definitely a few scheduling conflicts between Zoe Daphne and I. And I just, like I said, off air, really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come and speak with me. I know that as a musician, you probably have such a busy schedule. So for you to block out time out of your day to just chit-chat with me is something that I don't take for granted. And I really do appreciate your time and energy.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It was amazing to get to talk to you. I love this podcast. I'm definitely going to listen to more episodes while I'm taking breaks from practicing.
Love hearing that. And then one more final question before we officially close this out. What is the one thing you love most about yourself?
About myself?
Yes, because we have to end on a positive note, and this podcast is all about celebrating you and what you do.
I think I'd have to say that I always find a way to get back to the positives. I'm not saying it's easy, but at the end of the day, I do always get back to the positives. And I think I'm also very hardworking. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do everything I do, that being juggling conservatory life and all of my passion projects. So, yeah, I think those two things.
That is such a good way to end this podcast because I am all about positivity and it is so important and not and and beneficial to adopt like a positive mindset. And I love what you said. It's not easy. We all know this. It's easier said than done, but practicing it daily will 100% create it as a healthy habit. So thank you for sharing that and your story. Again, I will leave all of Zoe Daphne's information in the show notes, so be sure to click more. And I hope you guys have a beautiful day and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.